Welcome to B'nai Shurin Space Medrash Program, Elul Initiative. It's an unbelievable schluss to have Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg give a series of shirim during Elul. Next week's shir will be Wednesday, and the last shir will be the following week on Thursday evening. This year's topic is topics in Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah. Are you willing to listen? The challenge of receiving rebuke. It's a special schluss. First, to have Rav Moshe Tzvi living in the community, and Mashpia, all of us, and a special schluss to have him give shir in our base medrash. Kavod gadol.
Just by a show of hands, how many people are interested in davening Maariv right after? Amen. Okay, so we'll have a minion in the room right after. And on that note, with regard to finishing on time, as I stepped down last week, at the end of the shiur, I was already given an opportunity to begin to practice what tonight's shiur will be about, before I even had the chance to prepare the shiur. As Henry said, tonight's shiur is about the challenge of listening to rebuke, and being willing to accept the advice and the suggestions of others. As I stepped down after last week's shiur, one of the gentlemen who was at the shiur came over to me and he said, "I enjoyed your shiur, but it would be good if you spoke a little more slowly. And you shouldn't feel a pressure to finish on time. You can go for as long as you want." And so I said, "You know, that's very nice of you to be mochel on behalf of the tzibur. I don't know if everyone agrees to that. And I won't take the assumption to assume I can go for as long as I want, as much as I have a lot of things I'd like to share with you. But I will take the musar to heart and I'll try to speak a little more slowly. And we will still at the same time try to finish on time." But very often when a person gives us advice and a person gives us a suggestion and a person tells us, you know, maybe you could be a little better in this regard or in that regard, our immediate response is to sort of put up a guard, and our immediate response is to feel challenged by that individual and to not be so receptive necessarily to the advice of others. And a person might have very good intentions. A person might say it in a very nice way. Sometimes it's not so much in the language of tochacha, which we translate as rebuke, but it's a suggestion, it's advice, it's a person who wants you to be better at being who you are. And yet already long ago, the Gemara tells us in source number one, the Gemara in Maseches Erechin, tells us that it's almost impossible to find a person today. And again, this was true in the times of Chazal, all the more so. Today, where our hearts are that much weaker and our sensitivities are that much more aroused, says the Gemara in source number one, Tanya Amar Bitarfon, Toma Aniyim Yesh Bedur Hazesh Mekabel Tochacha. He says, "I'd be surprised if you could find even a single person who is truly willing to receive tochacha, who is willing to be rebuked by others, that someone else could say, you are not living your life in the best possible way. And you say, thank you so much, I'm so happy you pointed that out to me. Please tell me other things that I do wrong so I can be a better person." It's a very rare breed, says Rabbi Tarfon, to find even a single individual, Bidur HaZeh in his time, all the more so in our time, to find a person who's interested in being mekabel tochacha. Im Omer Lo, if you say to a person, A very simple, you know, you point out that someone has something, right, on the back of their jacket. Or the Gemara says, imagine you meet someone and they have something stuck in their tooth. Im Omer Lo, if you say to someone, Tol Kesa Mibain, you'll see the text on the page in front of you, says, Mibain Einecha. Remove the splinter between your eyes. The Gemara has a girsa change, a change in the text on the side of the Gemara. Remove that splinter from between your teeth. Right, you say to someone, you know, you have a little piece of lettuce stuck in your teeth. And the Gemara says, so often a person will respond, Amr lo, tol kor mi ben einecha. Yeah, well, I have a piece of lettuce in my teeth. Well, you have a beam between your eyes. Right? I'm just trying. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I'm just trying. Your collar was a little bit up. And you feel like, who are you to tell me, right, that I have to work on this? Who are you to tell me that I have a piece of lettuce stuck in my teeth? And again, it only highlights the sensitivities that people have and the challenge that existed from long ago to receive tochacha. The story is told of a great magid was traveling around, went from town to town, known for his fiery musar shmuzin. And he comes to a particular town, and he's very interested in telling these people, putting them in their place. And he gets up and he starts darshaning with great passion and great zeal. And he says, you know, every member of this shul, and he starts rattling off, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. And I see that people speak Lashon Hara, and I see that the standards of tznius are not up to par, and people rush through their davening, and Shabbos is not what it's supposed to be. And he's going on and on. He's pointing out every member of this kehila needs to work on this and that. He says, he notices there's this one fellow sitting in the front row. He said, most people are, you know, ducking down, they're ashamed, they're embarrassed. There's one guy sitting in the front row, he's smiling the whole time. He's sitting there, he's smiling, he's nodding along. And this darshan figures, you know, I'm the darshan who makes everyone cry, put everyone in their place. And he turns up the heat and he starts speaking with even greater passion and greater zeal. And he's looking at this fellow and he says, maybe some of you didn't hear me. He says, every single member of this kehillah, and he's going on and on and on. And this fellow's sitting there and he's just smiling, enjoying the lecture. He says at the end of his fiery musar shmooze, this darshan comes down. He walks straight over to that fellow and he says, I don't understand. He says, everyone else is listening, they're attentive. You can see that my words are making an impact. He says, what about you? You're sitting there smiling the whole time. I don't get it. Do you not hear my message? Do you not understand what I'm trying to convey? And the fellow says to him, he says, listen, you kept saying throughout your drasha, every member of the shul, this, every member of the shul, that. He says, I'm not a member of this shul. I'm not a member of this shul. I don't have to listen to what you're saying. Right? Probably this guy was the guy who comes to shul anyway, takes advantage of all the things at shul and doesn't pay his membership. And this person needed that in the Muslim more than anyone else, perhaps. But again, so often we look at the words of rebuke being spoken, we listen to the Rav's drasha, we hear a message that should resonate with us, and very often we come up with all the excuses in the world. And tonight we're going to look, as we did last week, we're going to move now to the second shahr of Rabbeinu Yonah's four shaharim. As I said last week, we're going to pick one topic for each of the shaharim over the course of 4 weeks. And let's get an overview of what the second shahr of the Shaharei Tshuva is about, in source number two. Shaharei Tshuva l'Rabbeinu Yonah, Shahr Sheni, in his introduction, he says that the second shahr will be for the purpose, Lahoros Hadrachim, she is Or HaAdam Bahen, Lashuv Al Hashem. To offer certain pathways to awaken a person to do tshuva. And the second shahr is made up of 34 paragraphs. And he outlines, Rabbeinu Yonah outlines six basic ways that a person can awaken himself to do tshuva. He refers to them as Sibos, she is Or HaAdam Bahen, Lashuv Midrachav. Six different causes or effects or means by which a person can have a his oris. Six things to think about in order to wake a person up to tshuva. We're going to focus on the third one, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention what all six of them are. Again, we don't have time in depth to think about all six, but let's just go quickly through the six steps. If you could just grab the light. Thank you. It's not Musar, not giving you Musar. Thank you for turning the light back on. Okay, number one, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Things, again, Sibos, she is Or HaAdam Behen Leshuv Midrachav. I'm going to give it to you outside. You don't have them on the page in front of you. Number one, Rabbeinu Yonah says, one way to wake yourself up to Musar, to wake yourself up to Tshuva rather, is to think about the difficulties in your life and realize that they're not happenstance. That as Jews, we have to believe, and we do believe in one of the Yud Gimel Karma of the Rambam. If you look in the Siddur, you open up, right, the Nusach has this printed in the Siddur, the 11th of the 13 Ikarim says, Ani mamin b'emunah shleima, she'abor yisbarach shemo gomel tov l'shomri mitzvosav, u'ma'anish l'ovri mitzvosav. That there is a reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to our actions. When we do proper things, when we do mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards people. When a person unfortunately makes bad choices, there's a response, there's an onesh that comes with that. And as Jews, we have to be aware of that reality. We can't excuse the difficulties of our life to happenstance and say this just happened to come about. We have to try to the best of our ability to recognize that maybe this is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when a person reflects on the troubles of his life and he realizes that difficulty is often connected, not always. Again, we have to be careful that we don't overly blame ourselves. Very often, again, there still is the concept of a tzaddik who suffers in this world. There is a concept of Yisurim Sha'ava. There's all sorts of reasons why a person could go through a difficulty. And maybe it's not directly related to his behavior or her behavior. But if a person's going through a tough time, you have to make a cheshbon nefesh. You have to try to figure out what's the cause and the effect. What choices have I made that put me on a particular path? And when you think about those difficulties, that will awaken a person to tshuva. That's number one. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, number two, a second way to wake oneself up to tshuva, in particular when a person grows old. Rabbeinu Yonah says a person has to think about the fact that time will eventually run out. That life does not last forever. It's amazing. We live in a world where that notion, where the appreciation of using one's time well, is not necessarily the most respected of notions. The very fact that we have an expression in the English language of killing time, right? Killing time. It's not a crime to kill time. It's not illegal to kill time. It's something that people do to kill time, to pass time, to aimlessly pass the time. There are websites dedicated to keeping yourself busy at work if you have too much time. There's literally, you go online, you Google, I'm bored at work, and they'll give you a website of like 1,000 different ways, right? Whether it's playing video games or watching ridiculous videos, whatever it is, just to kind of pass the time. As Jews, that notion is so antithetical to everything that we stand for. Because the gift of time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us is meant to be filled in a meaningful way. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, again he's speaking specifically to a person, all the more so when one grows old, to realize that life doesn't last forever. And that itself should awaken a person to tshuva. The Gemara says in source number 3, well-known Gemara in Maseches Eruvin, on Daf Nandal Amud Aleph, Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, sharp one, wise person. If a person wants to be wise, realize the following, Chatov v'achol. A person should grab and eat. Right, as we say in Yiddish, to grab the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Not to chas v'shalom squander the life that we've been given. Rather, chatof achol, chatof ishtay, to grab something to eat, to grab something to drink. The alma da'az lean on minei kehilula dami. Because this world is like a wedding. Everyone knows, right? You could be the first one at the shmorg at Marina. But when they start to take away the tables, no matter how much you've had, you wish you had another 5 minutes. I got to grab another couple bites of sushi. Another round at the carving station. I'm being somewhat facetious, but that's what Chazal are saying here. When the Chassan and Kala finish the wedding, after 6 hours of an unbelievable celebration, and after months of planning, the Chassan and Kala look at one another, and they say, can you believe that it's over already? And that's life in this world. That Olam Hazeh is kehilula dami. It's like a wedding. And therefore, say Chazal, make sure you grab something while you have the opportunity to do so. Number 3, says Rabbeinu Yonah. What can a person do to awaken himself to tshuva? This is the one we will focus on tonight. Make yourself the type of person who's receptive to receiving the mussar and the rebuke of others. That's a difficult thing, and as we're going to focus on, we'll talk about that. Moving on to number 4, Rabbeinu Yonah says, take the Torah seriously. What does it mean to take the Torah seriously? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, take the Torah seriously and act upon it. How about, I'm going to describe this as follows. How about we take our own word seriously? How about we take our own tefillah seriously? If you look over the course of the day, you go through the davening, how many times do we say, Ki heim chayenu v'orech chameinu, the Torah is my life, and Torah is everything to me, and a life of Torah and mitzvos is the most central aspect of my existence. And we say the words very often, but do we act upon it? Do we really live with that appreciation? When we say a bracha in the morning, right, Shalom asani goy, that I'm so thankful to have been created a Jew. But do we live our life in a way that expresses that? If we would just, as Rabbeinu, take the words of Torah that we hear being read in Shul on Shabbos, when we sit and we open a Chumash, if we would just try to internalize those words in a more serious way, and to realize the pleasantness of a life of Torah and Mitzvos, or God forbid, the difficulty of a life for one who chooses otherwise, if we would take our own words seriously, if we would take our own Torah seriously, Rabbeinu Yonah says that would have a very direct impact on our life. If we would just actually stop and read the Siddur in English, and say, I've been saying this day in and day out, and Shmona Esrei, I'm asking for this, do I really want that? I daven for Geula. So many of the brachos of Shmona Esrei are talking about Mashiach. Do I really want Mashiach? Am I in tune with my own language, my own words? If we would stop to take our own words seriously, Rabbeinu Yonah says, that would awaken us to tshuva. We would realize that very often the things that we're saying are not an expression of who we really want to be. And therefore we clap. Ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu dibarnu dofi. I've spoke in a dual fashion. I've said one thing, echad bapev, echad balev. I've said one thing, but in my heart I really wanted something else. Number 5, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the 6 ways a person can awaken himself to tshuva. Again, this is an overview of the second Shah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, think about the precision of the judgment that we're all going to face in a number of days on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You can't fake out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Ki zocher kol hanishkachos ata. Hashem, you remember all that is forgotten. Very simply, it means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything. But the way that the Svarim HaKadoshim explain such an idea, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev and many other Svarim explain, that to whatever degree you are mindful of everything that you've gone through over the course of the last year, then Hashem says, I can forget it. If it bothers you, if you're still thinking about it, a mistake that you made right, last year, right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if that still bothers you, if you feel a need to still be working on that now, then Hashem says, then I'm not so worried about it. But if you forgot about it, then Hashem says, then I have to worry about it. I, kivyachal, have to focus on, have to remember it more. Ki zocher kol hanishkachos ata. What man forgets, the things that man should be focused on, the sensitivity that one should have coming into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if we forget, then Hashem is forced, so to speak, to remember. Hashem remembers everything. But the more mindful we are, again, to the din that's going to take place in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the more we realize that you can't beat the system, as much as we try to avoid that encounter, but we have to face that reality, a very precise Yom HaDin that is coming upon us, that certainly, the more we take that seriously, that will awaken us to tshuva. And last but not least, and it's hard to understand how the 6th one is actually different than the 2nd suggestion, Rabbeinu Yonah again repeats the theme of focusing on the possibility of running out of time before one does tshuva, not being ready to return one's soul. It could be that while in the 2nd paragraph he's focusing on a person who's getting old, in the 6th paragraph he's saying, one never knows, a person always has to be ready for an encounter with his Creator. As Rashi says in Koheles in the ninth parak, "B'chol isyu bigodecha levanim." Koheles tells us at all times, make sure your clothing is white, make sure that you're ready to go. And Rashi explains, because one never knows when he's going to be summoned to a din Torah before the Ribbono Shel Olam. But again, I want to focus on the third of the six ways to awaken ourselves to tshuva, and that is, like I described, again, being willing to listen to rebuke, listen to tochacha, to hear a lesson of Musar, and to try to internalize it in our hearts. Rabbi Yonah writes in source number 4, Haderech HaShlishis, the third way to awaken a person to tshuva, Kasher Yishma Musar HaChachamim VaMochichim Yakshiv VaYishma. When a person hears a word of advice, a word of rebuke from a chacham, from a person who's rebuking him, Yakshiv VaYishma. I want to focus on that double lashon for a moment. Yakshiv VaYishma means to listen and to listen. Right? Now what does it mean to listen and to listen? So it sounds like it means to listen in a way that you're really listening, to absorb the message that's being shared with you. To be humbled by that person's message, to say, you know what, this person's right. And as painful as it is to hear this person tell me that, you know what, you really need to work on X, Y, or Z. It's painful to hear such a thing, but I'm going to listen, because he's right. And I know that this individual wants what's best for me. And I know that I'm going to be humble enough to receive this rebuke and to change myself. Not to be, again, like that Jew sitting in the front row and said, I'm not a member of this shul, and therefore I have no binding obligation to listen to the Musar Shmuz, to listen to the drasha of this Rav. Now he's speaking to the congregation. He said, every member of this shul. But to be the type of person who's looking for messages, who's saying, you know what, I want to be told what I can do better. Then not a single word that's being shared is lost. Ki'ilu, that the speaker is just speaking to the air. I want to share with you an experience that I had probably 8 or 9 years ago, where I learned this idea in a very, very clear way. I remember it was this time of the year. I was sitting in this shul. I was learning the Sefer Kol Dodi Dofek from Rosh Hashanah Shadron. I was sitting with my brother-in-law, Chaim Feigenbaum, Alav Shalom. We were sitting in the back table of the Beis Medrash. We were learning the Sefer from Rav Shadron on Inyanei Tshuva. And we were reading such a beautiful piece. Rav Shadron was describing the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Yisro. How does the pasuk begin Parshas Yisro? Vayishma Yisro. And Yisro heard everything. Yisro, Kohen Midyan, Chosin Moshe. He heard everything that Hashem did for the Jewish people. Right? Whether Yisro heard about taking us out of Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, whether he heard about all of the Makos in Mitzrayim, whether Yisro heard about Har Sinai, different opinions what Yisro heard, but Yisro heard something, he was inspired, and he comes to join Klal Yisro. And Rosh Hashanah Shadron asked a very simple question. Vayishma Yisro, and Yisro heard. That's not really true. Yisro wasn't the only one who heard. The Gemara tells us that those events that took place, whether it was the splitting of the sea, whether it was the Makos in Mitzrayim, the whole world knew about it. Kabbalah Satorah, when the Jews received the Torah, the whole world was trembling. The whole world knew about it. Everyone heard about it. So if the Pasuk should try to express the fact that Yisro was very moved by Kabbalah Satorah, or by Kriyas Yamsuf, whatever it was that Yisro heard, it wasn't so much that he heard it, it's that Yisro came to join Klal Yisro. Shouldn't the Pasuk say that Yisro came, that Yisro responded, Yisro arrived? Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard? Everybody heard. That's the question of Shom Shodron asked. And he gave the following mashal. He said, imagine a fellow who lives, you know, somewhere out in the farm areas, comes to the big city. His first time in the big city. And he's walking around like a real tourist. You know, he's got his camera on, he's got his little fanny pack, he's got his baseball cap, so no one will recognize that he's Jewish, even though everyone knows that he's Jewish as he's touring. Right? And he's walking around, he's taking pictures, his first time in the big city. He's walking around and he notices, he sees these big iron tracks. And he's very curious, what is this? He's never seen this before. That was train tracks. And he's standing there, and he's trying to take it in, he's trying to understand the nature of these tracks, and all of a sudden in the distance, he hears a sound. It sounds like a whistle. Right? And he looks up, and he's looking around, and the train is coming his way, and he's standing there on the tracks, and he's snapping pictures as the train is coming, and the conductor of the train is sounding the horn, trying to signal to him to get off the tracks. This fellow, in his simplicity, doesn't understand even what's going on here. And he's standing on the track, and he's taking pictures, and the conductor is sounding the horn, And Rahman al-Islam, the fellow stands on the track, and the train comes, and it runs him over. So says Rosh Hashanah Shadron, would you say about such a person that he heard the whistle, that he heard the sound of the conductor, he heard the warning of the conductor? Now, technically he heard the sound, but he didn't process it, he didn't do anything with it, it didn't mean anything to him. He didn't understand that it was a warning, get off the tracks or it's going to be too late. So Rosh Hashanah Shadron says, would you say about such a person that he really heard? Says Rosh Hashanah Shadron, can you say about the whole world that, so to speak, heard in a theoretical sense about Kriyas Yamsuf and heard about Kabbalah Satorah, and they weren't moved by it, would you say that such a person really heard? Says Rosh Hashanah, when the Torah tells us by Yishma Yisro, and Yisro heard, and Yisro responded, that's the type of person who really heard. And I remember I was sitting at that back table with Chaim, and we were learning this piece, and I said, wow, Chaim, what a great vart. By Yishma Yisro, and Yisro heard. He was the only one who really heard. That is such a beautiful idea. What a nice vart. And boy, would I regret those words, because we read on in the Sefer, and about two lines later, Rosh Hashanah said, and it could be that you're reading my Sefer right now, as I'm trying to teach you how to listen and to be moved by something, and you might read my words and say, you know what, that's a beautiful Dvar Torah, and you walk out of the room being exactly the same person that you are. It was unbelievable. Rosh Hashanah, literally like a line later, he was talking to me. And he was saying, if you're only going to try to listen in the abstract, if it's just going to be a nice idea, but it's not actually going to change your life, he said, have you really heard the idea? Have you really learned from the idea? And you come over at the end and you say to the rabbi, that was a beautiful shir. Right? What was beautiful about it? I don't know, it was nice ideas. Does it change me? Does it move me? Am I going to live my life differently because of it? And if I'm only listening in the abstract, can I truly say that I've heard? Says Rosh Hashanah, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro responded. And by definition, that's the type of person who really heard. They tell a story of Aryeh Leib Bakst. Aryeh Leib Bakst was one of the old Talmidim of the Alter of Kelm. He learned for a period of time in the Yeshiva in Kelm. Eventually he traveled to Slobodka and he learned by the Alter of Slobodka. And the Musar Shmuzin in Kelm and Slobodka were of a very different style. In Kelm, the Musar Shmuzin were very to the point. The Alter of Kelm would tell people, you need to work on X, Y, or Z. Here's how you work on it. Very, very clear and to the point. In Slobodka, Slobodka was known, of course, for expressing the notion of godless ha'adam. And godless ha'adam came with a certain language, a certain regal quality to it. And therefore, the ideas were more abstract. And the presentation of the Alter of Slobodka was maybe a little bit more flowery. Right? And it was a very different style of Musar Shmuz. When Rav Aryeh Leib Bakst came back, and he came back from Slobodka, at one point he was sharing with one of his children, he was sharing this idea, and he said to him, you know, it's such a different style, the way they present in Kelm, the way they present in Slobodka. Happens to be that year, it was Sukkos, and Rav Aryeh Leib Bakst was sitting in the Sukkah with his son, and a certain maskil, a certain well-known maskil in the neighborhood, someone who liked to poke fun and give trouble to those Jews who were still old-fashioned and orthodox, he walked into the Sukkah of Rav Aryeh Leib Bakst. And he says, Rabbi, I have a question for you. And he was poking fun. He said, you know, in yeshiva, I know that very often they teach the boys Meseches Ksubos. And he says, the Meseches Ksubos, and I remember when I was still, you know, of your old-fashioned type, I remember the beginning of Meseches Ksubos. It talks about the relationship between a husband and wife. It talks about the wedding contract, the ksuba. It talks about the difference of a marriage when a person marries a girl who's never been married before versus a person who's been married before. And the Gemara touches on some very, explicitly sexual matters in presenting the various halachos that apply to a young couple, to a new couple. And he says, you know, aren't you worried that in yeshiva, when you're teaching young yeshiva boys, things are such a sexually explicit nature, aren't you worried that it's going to lead to all sorts of bad machshavos? And Rav Aryeh Leib Bakst started laughing. He said, you know, the truth is in yeshiva, they teach the ideas in such an abstract way, right, that people don't even realize that they're talking about things of this world, right, that the sexual content of the Gemara is overlooked. And Rav Aryeh Leib Bakst's son piped in, and he said, you know what, the same thing is true not only when they learn Gemara Ksubis, that the ideas are an abstract lumdus, that you don't even realize that you're talking about things which in theory are of a very delicate nature, and it's spoken about so openly in the Beis Medrash. He says, the same thing is true with Musar. He said the Musar Shmuzin that they were sharing in Slobodka, and again, he wasn't Chas V'Shalom knocking on Slobodka, but he's saying there's such a danger that a person could hear a Musar Shmuzin presented in such beautiful language and such flowery lashonos that the person walks away with this abstract idea of a nice way that one could, in theory, be a better Jew, but we don't actually change to become a better Jew. And I think that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying when he uses these words: Yakshiv VaYishma, listen in a deep way. Don't just listen in the abstract. When someone gives you Musar, it's not just a nice idea. When Rosh Hashanah wrote a sefer called Dodi Dofek, he was trying to build Jewish people. He wasn't trying to share a nice vartlach that we say, wow, Vayishma Yisro, why didn't I think of that? What a beautiful idea. To take it to heart. To try to internalize the words of Musar that we encounter in this world. Just a couple weeks ago, we read in source number 5 at the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnech Mayom Brachu Klala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, behold, I am presenting before you today Bracha and Klala. We mentioned this pasuk last week. And Ibn Ezra has a comment there, a very brief comment. Says Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, source number 6, Re'ei l'chol echad yedaber. Why is it written in Lashon Yachid? Re'ei anochi nosein lifneichem in the plural. What's the Re'ei in Lashon Yachid? Says Ibn Ezra, source number 6, l'chol echad yedaber. Realize that the words of Moshe Rabbeinu and the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are spoken to each and every individual. that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, listen, there's a choice you have to make. You can live a life of bracha, you can live a life of klala. And a person says, well, that's a nice opportunity you're offering my friend. No, Re'eh, you see, in the singular. You need to see, you have a choice. Every single Jew has to make that choice. Right, Pliskin, in one of his farm, tells a great story. He says, again, there was a guest speaker who came to a particular town, and he turns to the local Rav and he says, you know, what would be a good topic to speak about? What would be a topic that would resonate with the people? So he says to the guest speaker, says, the truth is you can speak about anything you want. It doesn't really matter because in my community, every single member of my community, they're a bunch of Yemenites. So he says, Yemenites? He says, I've heard of Yemenites. He says, what's a Yemenite? He says, don't you mean a Yemenite? He says, no, they're Yemenites. Yanim in Yiddish, right? Yanim means the other one. No matter what you say, they're all going to say, oh, he's speaking to Yanim, he's speaking to the guy next to me. So it doesn't really matter what your presentation's about. Whatever the topic's going to be, everyone's going to have the same response. Right? Wow, that Darshan really put, you know, my neighbor in his place. He really is carried away with his Gashmias. This person, yeah, he really does need to work on his Shmira Salasha. The whole community's a bunch of Yanimites. Says Moshe Rabbein Re'eh in the singular. Says Ibn Ezra, L'chol Echad Yadaber. Every single person is being spoken to, personally, individually. Moshe Rabbeinu says, each person has to make a choice. Do you want a life of bracha? Do you want a life of klala? And I'm not just speaking to your neighbor who needs to make a cheshbon and nefesh. You yourself need to listen and internalize the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the tzaddikim lived. The real tzaddikim always wanted, they were happy to have someone rebuke them. They were happy to have someone give them advice. We mentioned a few moments ago, Rosh Hashanah Shadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. He was in a shul one time, he was speaking. And there was a person in the shul he wanted to address about a particular issue in Shalom Bayis. And his words, he was presenting to the whole group, but Rav Shalom had this one individual in mind who he really wanted that the message, he didn't want to speak to him directly, he didn't think he would absorb the message. So he's speaking to the entire room. It just so happened in Yerushalayim that day, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Isser Zalman Meltzer was sitting in the room. And Rav Shalom Shadron is speaking about the importance of Shalom Bayis, of building a proper home, the relationship between a husband and a wife, that there should be proper communication, there should be proper respect. And Rav Shalom gave a beautiful presentation. And afterwards, the great Rosh Yeshiva, and anyone who knows of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer's sensitivity, it makes the story that much more astounding. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer walked over to Rav Shalom and he said, Rav Shalom, you embarrassed me in front of everyone. You got up and you spoke about the fact, I know I need to be a better husband, I know I need to be a better father, and I know I need to work on the nature of the relationships that are being formed in my home. And Rav Shalom said, Rosh Yeshiva, I'm so sorry, of course I wasn't talking to you. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer didn't believe him. The story is told that Rav Shalom had to, for weeks and months, Rav Shalom had to tell Rav Isser Zalman that I'm telling you, I really wasn't talking to him. And he really wasn't talking to him. And Rav Isser Zalman didn't need that rebuke. But Rav Isser Zalman was sitting in the audience and he said, you know what? If something's being spoken, yeah, I need to think about that. I need to figure out what it does have to do with me, even if the comments are not really directed at me. That's how a tzaddik tries to listen in a deep and very sensitive way. Continues Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 7. What happens when a person becomes a listener? What happens when a person trains himself not to be a Yenamite, where he's always saying it's the other person's problem, but the person says, you know what, I want to hear what I can do to be better. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I never knew that halacha. I never realized that I wasn't so sensitive in a particular area. Thank you for pointing it out to me. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, continuing in source number 7. Just by choosing to be the type of person who's willing to listen, in a single choice, a person emerges from darkness to light. Once you've become the type of person who's willing to accept the rebuke of a person who's offering the rebuke, and you say, whatever you're going to tell me, I am going to very graciously receive your words, from that day forward, please, I'd be honored if you pointed out things that I need to work on. How many of us feel that way? But says Rabbeinu Yonah, if we could try to be those types of listeners, that I turn to those who are a little bit more refined and I'm willing to hear their messages. Also, before you actually make the changes, just being the type of person who's willing to listen is already a transformative experience. And he writes where it's bolded in source 7. From the moment you've made the choice that I am going to be the type of person who is going to absorb the words being spoken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you credit as if you've listened to every mitzvah and every bit of mussar, simply because you've made yourself out to be the type of person who will listen to the mitzvos and who will listen to the mussar. And he quotes the Maamar Chazal in the Mechilta in Parshas Bo, that when the Jewish people were told about the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, the Torah says, they went and they did it immediately. The truth is they didn't do it immediately, as Rashi points out, as the Medrash points out. It was a period of time. Miyad asu? Did they act right away? They didn't actually act upon this until the 14th of Nisan. But a person who's willing to change, even if he hasn't changed yet, but he shows a willingness and appreciation, he's thankful. He's thankful that the person reminded him that he needs to work on X, Y, or Z. Immediately Hashem says, you know what, I'm giving you credit as if you've changed. Because you've torn down that wall that so many of us put up, where we refuse to hear the words of the mochiach, of the one who's offering the rebuke. He quotes from Avos Rabbi Nassim that anyone whose actions are greater than his wisdom will endure. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, how is it possible for my actions, my performance to be more than my knowledge? How can I possibly do more than I even know? Rabbeinu Yonah says, there's only one way to actually do more than you know. And that is to be this type of person that's being described here. Being the type of person who says, you know what, I don't know everything yet. But I would be prepared to learn everything. And please teach it to me. I'm encouraging it. I know it's going to make challenges in my life, but I'm prepared to hear. And at that moment, Hashem looks at that individual and says, I'm giving you credit for the things that you know, and I'm giving you credit for the things that you don't know. Because I can trust that as you find out those things, you're willing to change. What a beautiful insight of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says, that's really Nasa v'Nishma. When the Jewish people were makabel the Torah, what was the Nasa v'Nishma? What was so wondrous about Nasa v'Nishma? That the Gemara says, that Hashem says, wow, how did the Jewish people figure out the secret of the angels, Nasa v'Nishma? Nasa v'Nishma meant, not that we're actually going to be able to do it before we hear about it, but there was a willingness to learn. And that was such a rare thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find when he was shopping the Torah around the world. And Hashem says to Klai, so wow, your willingness to listen, your willingness to grow and to change is an amazing thing. That itself is a tremendous bracha. Look at the psukim over there in Parshas Re'eh in source number 8. The very next pasuk. Re'eh anochi nosein l'tnecham yom bracha u'klala. What is the bracha, what is the klala? So you would think the bracha is the person who does all the right things. The klala is the person who does all the wrong things. They printed some of the Kisvei Yad from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And he says, that's not what the pasuk says. Look at the pasuk in source number 8. What's the bracha? Es habracha asher tishmo. The bracha is not the one who listens and then goes and does the mitzvot. That's also true. But the bracha is already applied to asher tishmo, the one who's willing to listen. What about the klala? Says Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the klala im lo tishmo. The person who refuses to listen. The person who won't even hear it. That's the biggest klala in the world. The person whose ears are blocked and he'll never accept any rebuke. He's not willing to change. He doesn't want to hear about it. You know, we lost a great tzaddik very recently, the Tosha Rebbe. People have been talking about the tzaddik. Some people had the opportunity, people are sharing stories about the bracha of the Tosha Rebbe and the eights of the Tosha Rebbe. A remarkable personality. I remember I found years ago, and someone had thrown out in Seamus, maybe it was here, before my father was the head of the Seamus Foundation. In the good old days where you could just help yourself to this farm before you had to make a donation. Okay. So I think it was here. Maybe it was in a different shul. I was looking. You know, you never know. People give away Sfarim. So I found the Sefer Avodas Avoda from the Tosha Rebbe. The Tosha Rebbe from Canada just passed away. He passed away very recently. So I thought, you know, for tonight's shir, I should try to find something from the Tosha Rebbe. It's Chus the Rebbe who passed away recently. And he has such a beautiful insight I found in the Sefer. I was so fortunate. I was flipping through and Hashem was kind enough to point this out to me. The Tosha Rebbe says, David HaMelech, we know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, is one of the people who really raised the standards of tshuva. David HaMelech, the Gemara says, was hikim ola shel tshuva. He raised the standards of tshuva. He showed what it means to really return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take achrayas for one's actions and the choices that one has made. The Tosha Rebbe says, look at Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph, in source number 9. Tosha Rebbe says, what does David HaMelech say? Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. Mizmor leDavid. David HaMelech was singing. Right? Picture David HaMelech walking around with his harp. He's singing a happy song. What was he so happy about? What's the Mizmor LeDavid? What was the great song of joy that David HaMelech was singing? Bevoe lav nosan anavi kasher baal basheva. David HaMelech says, I want to sing a cheerful tune. You know why? Because nosan anavi came and really put me in my place because of the incident with Bathsheba. That nosan anavi came and gave me really strong rebuke, pointing out how I totally mishandled my marriage and that whole interaction, right, between David and Bathsheba. And David HaMelech is marching down the street and he's whistling a tune, he's singing, wow, I'm so happy Nassan stopped by today. Nassan Anavi came. And he really gave it to me. Mizmor LeDavid. Says the Tosha Rebbe, what's the Mizmor LeDavid? But David HaMelech understood that it's a zchus when someone comes and gives you Musar. And he was happy about that. And when Nassan Anavi said, you know, David, you weren't as sensitive as you should have been in handling the Bathsheba situation, David HaMelech says, I'm going to write a song about that. That's a great point. I really should have thought about that, the way that Nelson and Navi thought about it. That was the nature of the tzaddikim. The Vilna Gaon had a calculation at the end of the year, how many seconds of Bittul Torah he had. And every second of his day was calculated. The Vilna Gaon didn't need that much mussar. And yet, you read the biographies of the Vilna Gaon, and they all describe how the Vilna Gaon would invite the Dubna Magid to come. He would invite him. He said, please, I want to invite you personally to give me a mussar shmus. How many people, right, hire a renowned speaker from a neighboring, you know, area to come and give them one-on-one? Come, tell me, I want you to come point out all the things I need to work on. And the Vilna Gaon, was the first to invite, time and again, to invite the Dubna Magid, come please, point out things that I, the Vilna Gaon, need to work on. Imagine, but that was the nature of the tzaddikim. They want to hear. David HaMelech was singing a happy song. Thank you, Nelson HaNavi, for reminding me of who I could be. I appreciate that. Rav Moshe Feinstein was unquestionably one of the Gedolei Ador of the previous generation, not that long ago. Rav Moshe Feinstein's name shaped Torah in America, shaped Psak Halacha in America. We have the beautiful volumes of the Igros Moshe and their works of Halacha. But every now and again you see Rav Moshe's spirit, his sensitivity, and his humility comes through in one of the letters, in one of the tshuvas. There's an amazing tshuva in source number 10. Rav Moshe writes in the first volume, in the Igros Moshe, Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph, in Simen Sadi Vav, 96, he's writing a letter to a person who wrote to Rav Moshe and gave him mussar. Why did he give Rav Moshe mussar? Rav Moshe would sometimes, after candle lighting, receive a ride to shul. And this person felt that it wasn't right. That if someone sees Rav Moshe still in a car, even a minute after candle lighting time, right? Even though he hadn't been Mekabel Shabbos yet, maybe it's a Chil Hashem, maybe it's Maris Ayin. And this person, who was certainly a person not of the stature of Rav Moshe, wrote to Rav Moshe strong words, questioning Rav Moshe's practice. And look how Rav Moshe, with such humility, responds. He writes at the beginning of the tshuva, Na'anesi ma'od, I was so thankful to receive your letter, that malas kvotcha, that you, this honored Rav who wrote to me, Nizdari zakayim mitzvos tochacha, thank you for taking advantage of the mitzvah of Torah. Thank you for putting me in my place. Thank you for pointing this out to me. You know what, Rav Moshe says? Maybe I could be more sensitive. That lefi daito, right? According to your position, there's what to rebuke, and I'm thankful that you rebuked me. V'teshuas chein chein. He says, I'll give you a standing ovation, a round of applause. V'chos v'shalom li lahakbid b'zeh. And don't think that I'm the least bit upset by the fact that you pointed out to the Gadol Hador, right, giving mussar to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe says, thank you. That's a great point that you make. If I mirtz Hashem b'li neder, from this point forward, I will not get into a car. You can see, as Rav Moshe often does, Rav Moshe's very creative spelling. You see the word bekar. I will not enter after halakas neros bekar. Af she'ein b'zeh Hashem, it's iser. Even though technically it's 100% mutter. And Rav Moshe goes on to describe his halachic position. But b'li neder, I'm a kabbal upon myself not to enter a car after candle lighting. Af lo mishum marasayin, even though I don't believe there's a drop of a chashash from a strictly halachic perspective of marasayin, of doing something that could be misleading. But Rav Moshe says, thank you so much. I appreciate the letter. You know what? You're making an excellent point. I remember I read a story one time, the Chabina Rav was a Gaon Shebegaonim, who came over from Europe, was settled in Yerushalayim. Amazing story how they even discovered, how Klal Yisrael even discovered the Chabina Rav. Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld. The Chazon Ish quotes very few contemporaries in his Sefer. One of the few names that makes it into the writings of the Chazon Ish. Right? Someone, again, from his own times, are the writings of the Dovid Meisharim, the Chabina Rav. I remember I read a story one time, the Chabina Rav, on a Shabbos afternoon one time, he was resting, he was up late the night before learning, it was Shabbos afternoon, Chabina Rav was taking a little rest, taking a nap, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And he's resting in bed, and a few seconds later, another knock, finally comes to the door, gets himself up, puts on his robe, comes to the door, and there's a young child standing there, and he's knocking on the door. And the Chabina Rav says, you know, is everything okay? Is there an emergency? I just had a question for the rabbi. So he says to this little boy, you know, if someone doesn't answer the door right away, maybe that means that they're resting. And you shouldn't keep knocking like that. You know, someone might be upset by that. So this little boy says to the Chabina Rav, he says, you know what, the truth is, I never crossed my mind that you, the Chabina Rav, would be taking a rest on a Shabbos afternoon. And the Chabina Rav took it to heart in such a deep way that from that day forward he said, I'm never taking a nap again on Shabbos afternoon. This kid's right. I'm the Chabina Rav. How can I take a nap on Shabbos afternoon? This kid has an excellent point. So how many people are willing, again, to be mevatel themselves to someone who's clearly of less knowledge than them, someone who's less refined than them, and yet if a person gives advice, you know what, I'm thankful. Rav Moshe Feinstein was thankful, the Vilna Gaon was thankful, David HaMelech was thankful. The Chabina Rav said, thank you young child for pointing out, you know what, the Chabina Rav shouldn't be taking a nap on a Shabbos afternoon. I should hold myself to a higher standard. And from that point forward, that's how he carried himself. Halavai, we should be those types of people, not too proud and not too full of ourselves, to be willing to listen and to be willing to change. To have the bracha, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, and explaining the psukim, the bracha asher tishmo, just to have an ear that's willing to listen. And now we conclude the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in the final source. Rabbeinu Yonah concludes in source 11. Vasher lo yisor lekol emochichim. But unfortunately, those individuals who are too stubborn to receive the rebuke, keifel avono, your sin is doubled over. Why? Ki is hiru vekosher es libo velo nizhar. Because you can't say that I wasn't warned. You're not going to be able to get after 120 to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, no one ever pointed it out to me. The person who received the rebuke and turned his shoulder to it, right? He closed his ear. He's kosher es libo, hiksha es libo. He hardens his heart velo nizhar. That person is doubly guilty. He made the mistake and he had the opportunity to change and he was too foolish. He was too stubborn. He was too proud to be willing to change. And Rabbeinu Yonah concludes in Os Yud Beis in the final paragraph with a beautiful insight into the Pasuk in Mishlei. And with this we'll conclude. Od Amar Shlomo Alav Shalom. Me'or Einayim Yismach Lev. Shmua Tova Tidashen Otze. Shlomo Melch is describing two experiences. Me'or Einayim, something that lights up one's eye. And that which is a Shmua Tova. That which the ear responds to. Ozen Shomaz Tochas Chaim Bechkerev Chachom Talim. A ear that listens to the rebuke of the wise. Such a person dwells amongst the Chacham and wants to hear what they have to say. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. V'yesh l'kol Chacham Lev L'das. Ki lo yitachin shechiber Shlomo Alav Shalom Dvarim B'teilim Ke'il Achina. Shlomo Melech is not just using flowery language all of a sudden here in the middle of Mishlei. Mishlei is coming to teach us lessons. All of a sudden Shlomo says, Me'orei Nayim Yismach Lev. There's a certain light to the eye that makes the heart rejoice, and an experience, a good thought that makes the ear, right, feel that it's receiving something to dashin otzem, that one's bones feel revived by it. What's Shlomo Melech talking about here? Shlomo Melech is the Chacham Mikol Adam. What's he saying? What's he sharing in this expression? The Me'orei Nayim Yismach Lev, the Shmua Tova to dashin otzem. What's he saying? Says Rabbeinu Yonah on the fifth line. Achein ze pesher adavar. Me'orei Nayim Yismach Lev. Ha'ayin Aver Nichbad Ma'od. The eye, as everyone knows, is one of our most precious organs, such a delicate organ. It's got so many intricate things working hand in hand to allow a person to create an image, to be able to see. Ki Yiruba Sama Oro Sama Samchim Salev. And Hashem allows us to see things, which make us happy. Beautiful images that put a smile on our face. V'nichbada mimenu ha'oza. But in a certain sense, the body part that's even more delicate, a body part that's even more precious, and he'll prove it to us in a second, is the ear. How so? Ki yishvu ba shmua tova hamidashenes es ha'atzim. That when a person's ear hears something, that it causes, when that idea penetrates through one's ear, it's not just something that's yismach, yisamach lei, that makes the heart rejoice. Rather, it's midashen atzim, the entire etzim, miatzmai, the bones of the person, from head to toe, when he absorbs a message, and it runs through him, it transforms the entire person. But the ear, it's difficult. The ear is not so quick to hear. She'ein bohar gasha. V'le'yedushin b'ma'orei na'im bilti b'tano yoser. The eye needs to have a certain degree of pleasure. The ear is a more sensitive organ. And therefore, in halacha we see, quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama, ki ha'ozen nechbedes mishar ha'evarim. The ear, in some ways, is more precious than all of the other organs, all the other limbs. She'im sima es eino nosein lo d'me eino. The halacha says if you poke out someone's eye, you have to compensate them, you have to pay them for the loss of the eye. As, you know, unfathomable as it is to put a price tag on an eye, the gift of sight. But the halacha says, you pay for the damages done. But chersho, if you make someone deaf, if you strike someone leaving them deaf, no sin lo dmei kulo. You have to pay the value of their entire existence. Because without their ears, they've lost life itself. Even though the Gemara says that a suma, a blind person, is chashav kames, is like a person who's dead. But halacha doesn't say if you take away someone's eye, you have to pay the entire value of their life. You take away their ear, you've taken away life itself. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, of course every organ is vital. Every bit of our being is meant to be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet the ear plays a unique role. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in the final five lines, he quotes a medrash in Shemos Rabbah. The medrash says, Nafal adam min agag v'nishpru evarav. If a person fell from a rooftop and shattered his limbs and his organs, he needs a different treatment for each thing. His leg is broken in a certain way. He needs to go to a specialist who deals with the leg. His arm was broken
in a certain way. His neck was broken in a certain way. Right? He has all sorts of injuries from head to toe. And each one has to be bandaged. Each one has to undergo its own unique physical therapy in order to heal. But says the Medrash, a sinner who sins with all of his limbs, a person who has averos from head to toe, and you might think he needs to go to a specialist, someone who focuses on each of those specific body parts, and the particular avera that was carried out with that body part. Says the Pasuk, right? Shenemar, mikaf reglavad rosh, ein bo misom, a person could sin to the point that there's not a bit of him from head to toe. That's perfect. That's lacking damage. Right? He's broken from head to toe. So what's he supposed to do? He needs to seek out a chacham who can point out each mitzvah and tell him what he did wrong. What does he need to do to heal himself? The person who fell from the roof needs to see so many different doctors, so many different therapists, so many different specialists in order to achieve the healing that he needs. But a Jew who does averos, what does he need? What specialist does he need to go to? What limb does he need to fix everything? Hashem heals him with a single bandage, with a single fixing, and that is v'hi shmiyas ha'ozen. Shenemar, as the Navi Yeshaya says, hatu oznechem ulechu elai shimu usachi nafshechem. If you're just willing to listen, if you're willing to absorb, if you allow the messages of Musar to trickle in, then we can transform ourselves from head to toe. So Mir Hashem, we should make that choice. We should be the types of people, Re'ei and Lashon Yachid, that every single one of us is being offered by Moshe Rabbeinu, offered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the opportunity to take these days to listen. And there are so many shiurim, so many opportunities. People are trying to speak to one another. How can we be better? As a community, as individuals, let's try to be the people who are blessed with the koach of Shmiah, who have a sensitive ear, who are zocha to have that trait of Shmiyas Ozen. And Mir Hashem, as those words of Musar penetrate into our ear, and trickle through our body, to our mind, to our heart, and to all of the Evarim, we'll be able to heal ourselves from head to toe. And be zocha to aksiva v'chsimatov.